Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piper. I am delighted to sit with you today. We're going to sit for 10 minutes and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor, on a chair or sofa, or a kneeling bench, all of those are good. And the idea is to find a way to sit up that feels upright and uplifted. So thank you so much for your responses to the series we just completed on working with painful emotions. I appreciate so much hearing from you about what that meant to you and what you found useful and so forth. So thank you for that. It's very brave to even consider working with painful emotions because to do so involves walking toward them and leaning into them, as opposed to what our normal first impulse might be, which is to shut them out, shut them down, not have them. Our way of working with painful emotions is to encounter them with a sense of courage, as mentioned, which means look, just look at your experience. And that tends to be more empowering than running from difficulty, which sometimes is very, very useful and important. So I'm not saying otherwise. Sometimes we just have to shut it all down. So that's cool. But working with our painful emotions enables us to be in our world. Because if we're constantly trying to run from them or not encounter anything that might trigger us, well, the world just gets smaller and smaller, which sometimes is important, especially if you're dealing with trauma or anything extreme. So I'm not saying, please, I'm not talking about those things. So, okay, working with our painful emotions allows us to be in our world, and we continually look around and continually see things that invoke more painful emotions. It's like we need some form of magic to transform the situations in our lives that cause pain to ourselves and others, because often the problems that we encounter seem intractable. So how do you find this magic? Where does this magic come from? Is it even possible? It is. My experience is that it is. So by magic, I'm not talking about anything law of attraction-y, wizard hats, woo-woo. I'm not talking about anything like that, because this is not the kind of magic that allows you to have all the things you want. Although I hope you do have all the things you want or will. Rather, it allows you to experience your world such as it is with joy, vitality, and fierce, gentle wakefulness. So that's the kind of magic we're talking about here. In the tradition I was trained in, it was said that magic occurs on three levels, as does everything else. There's outer magic, inner magic, and what is called secret magic. Today we're going to talk about outer magic. How do you find magic in the outer world? And then next week, inner, and the week after that, secret magic. So to open the topic of outer magic, I want to share a little story with you that I also told in my brand new book, The Buddhist Enneagram. This story is in there too. This was a very meaningful moment to me. I was with my then boyfriend, so it's a long time ago because he's now my husband, in New York City, and he suggested we go visit a woman who had been a friend of his parents and who now lived in New York City. Oh, okay, great. Let's go visit Marion Miller Minuski. So we go to her apartment, which is in the East Village. It's like a 5-story walk up. We open the door and this is very humble. It's like central casting old lady, you know, a cardigan, a wispy bun of gray hair and, you know, a sweet, gentle smile. And I sort of look into her place. I'm like, oh, this is very humble. Not in a disparaging way. It's just, oh, this is a very humble place. Okay, great. So we say hi, how are you, so forth, and we sit on her couch. and she excuses herself to get us some tea and cookies. So we're sitting there, I'm looking around, there's like furniture, there's a couch, and then some easy chairs. Some of them have kind of little rips in them, and there's a shelf of knickknacks from travels in South America and Latin America. And there was a record player and a shelf of records and just very ordinary things. Nothing was fancy at all. So we're sitting there waiting for our tea and our cookies. And I suddenly have this feeling. It just overcame me. Where am I? There's something magic here. There's something very profoundly magical here. We're just sitting on a couch waiting for some tea. But I looked around the place again. I'm like, this is glowing. This has a sense of richness and rootedness and beauty that is within the objects here, not on the surface of the objects here. So I'm like, is this really, is that right? Maybe I'm dreaming. Maybe I'm really hungry and I need those cookies because my blood sugar's low. Anyway, she comes out with the tea and the cookies, and it's, you know, Lipton's tea and chocolate chip cookies from the grocery store. But I'm sipping the tea and munching the cookie and thinking, this is friggin' delicious. This is the best cup of tea I ever had. This cookie, what is this cookie? It was like Chips Ahoy from the supermarket. So I'm wondering, how did she make this place? How did she create magic in this place? It turns out, by the way, that she had become a Zen practitioner of long standing. And there is tremendous emphasis in the Zen tradition on details, on being immaculate with your details. Not stiff, not perfect, but careful. You don't just, you know, slam your teacup down on the table. You don't pick your clothes up off the floor and put them on. You make sure that things are tidy and clean, and not because you're uptight, but because that's what you deserve and that's what your objects deserve. So this first view of outer magic involves the environment. Caring about the environment, caring about the details of where you place things and are they clean and do you love it and did you put it away after you used it, and all these things that your parents may have told you should do that seemed boring and onerous. And they are when you do them because you're like, oh, I gotta do this. But when you do those things because you love yourself, you love your environment, you love the things that you possess, however humble they might be, then you find yourself in the realm of Marion Miller Minuski. What I surmised, is that a word, upon leaving was that she had exhibited so much care over so many years for her space and her belongings that her heart had been absorbed by the space and the belongings. Her heart was in everything. And you don't have to be a special person to walk in there and feel that. It was extraordinary. I'll never forget it. So the first rule of magic on the outer level is to take care of your space. Again, not to be perfect. You don't have to spend a lot of money or any money, but just to care. The whole Marie Kondo world, by the way, is based quite beautifully on this notion of caring for your possessions and your environment, because that sparks joy. I believe that. I agree with that. That has been my experience. So you may think, oh, well, I'm pretty neat already. Good, okay. Go that little extra mile, and maybe there's a drawer that you've been wanting to tidy. Just do that. These things sound small. They are not. However, if you're on the other end of the spectrum, you're like, what? In order to have magic, I gotta clean up my space. Forget it. I'm a pack rat. That's never gonna happen. I live with 17 other people or whatever it is. Okay, cool. just start with one thing. You sleep somewhere, you know, presumably. So how about just your bed that you sleep in? Or if you have a table next to your bed, what is on that? Just that. Just start with that. Start putting your care and your heart into what's out here. And then what's out here starts to feed back to you confidence and joy. So we don't just have to find within ourselves, I should be more confident, I should be more joyful, I gotta fix all my problems, great, yeah, me too. But we don't just have to rely on what's in here to find the magic and the strength that we want. It can come from out here if we so imbue out here with our love. Don't take my word for that or anything. Try it yourself and see. So I'll be back at you in a week with inner magic, but just between now and then, experiment with nicening up, as my husband says it, the area, whatever the area may be. Could be your bed, could be your car, could be the desk where you sit, the chair that you read in, just tidy something. I don't mean to go all Marie Kondo on y'all, but care about your environment, and then your environment will hold you with a sense of magic and possibility. So don't take my word for that. I just want to say that again. So I hope that was useful. Let us sit. Begin your practice by establishing your posture with a sense of care. Care about the details of your own body in this posture. Not that you have to be perfect or love yourself. I don't mean that kind of caring. I just mean be precise. Here, caring and precise are synonymous. So your legs are crossed loosely in front of you, or your feet are flat on the floor, or you're kneeling, as mentioned, and let your hands rest on the legs, palms down, and lift them if you have already placed them there, and then replace them and feel the moment that they touch your palms and your legs. Feel your sit bones reaching down, as it were, into the cushion or chair or bench, whatever you're sitting on, and give your weight to whatever you're sitting on. Not trying to hover, we're not trying to get anywhere. We're trying to be somewhere. As my friend Michael Carroll so brilliantly says, and let yourself feel light from the waist up. And you're sitting up straight, so you can really allow your front body to soften a lot. Your belly, your chest, heart area, your throat can be soft. And the shoulders can relax. Nothing to carry right now, which is nice. The mouth is closed because you don't have to talk, which I think is also really nice. It's nice to be invited to be silent as a gesture of affection, which it is. Nothing is asked of you right now. The breath is natural in and out through the nose, no breathing technique, and the eyes are open, and the gaze is soft, and cast down to a comfortable spot in front, up to 6 feet or less, depending on where your screen is. And the eyes are open because we're practicing being awake and also, in some sense, feeling the reality of our environment. We're not separate from it. We are one with it. And when our vision mixes with the space we're in, or our ears mix with the space we're in, if we're visually impaired, we're acknowledging where we are. And that is absolutely the first step in creating magic. Don't take my word for that. Now, let your attention rest on the breath, which is always happening, so you don't have to find it or create an object for your meditation. It's your breathing. So we're not observing our breathing, we're feeling the body breathe. Feeling is different than observing. See if you can find the nuance between those two states of being, observing, feeling. We're feeling. It's more direct and simple. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, which is fine, it's no big deal. Your mind actually is not your thoughts. Thoughts are something that happen somehow within your mind, presumably. It doesn't matter if you have a lot or a little, because there's no effort to stop thinking here or think cheerful things or anything like that. Just let your thoughts be as they are. They'll come and go on their own. You don't have to push them away or comment on them or anything. Just let them float by. Little puffs of smoke that doesn't stink. If you notice, however, that you become fully absorbed in a line of thought, that's very good. Now you know you're not meditating. So you can go back to meditating by first just noticing that you're thinking. You don't want to swat it away, just notice it. You touch it with your attention and then let it go. You can label that moment thinking, if you like. Let go, as mentioned. Gently come back to this breath, not the one before or the one that's coming, this one, and begin again, feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It is a delight to practice with you. Thank you for practicing together, and thank you for practicing with me. I'll see you next week.